You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
My view of this is simple. We don't need a federal Department of Education telling us our children have to learn Esperanto, they have to learn Eskimo poetry.
Eskimo poetry.
Let the states decide. Let the communities decide on health care, on education, on lower taxes, not higher taxes. Now, he's going to throw a big word at you, unfunded mandate. He's going to say if Washington lets the states do it, it's an unfunded mandate. But what he doesn't like is the federal government losing power. But I call it the ingenuity of the American people.
President Bartlett, you have 60 seconds for a question and an answer.
Well, first of all, let's clear up a couple of things. Unfunded mandate is two words, not one big word. There are times when we're 50 states, and there are times when we're one country and have national needs. And the way I know this is that Florida didn't fight Germany in World War II or establish civil rights. You think states should do the governing wall to wall. That's a perfectly valid opinion. But your state of Florida got $12.6 billion in federal money last year from Nebraskans and Virginians and New Yorkers and Alaskans with their Eskimo poetry. 12.6 out of a state budget of $50 billion. I'm supposed to be using this time for a question, so here it is. Can we have it back, please?
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
You can read about it tomorrow, or possibly see it tonight. But with radio, you get it now and get it right.
When that wind happened, it was like a bad wind thing going on.
Hold on, wait a minute, what bad wind?
In America, they had that...
Hurricane Katrina?
Yeah.
Right.
And there was like a little bay with dolphins in it. And
right.
Like, with all guns on them and stuff.
What? Whoa.
Because they use dolphins, don't they? They say they're intelligent animal and stuff.
Yeah.
And they've got them all like, you know, they've all had the training, they're all like ready for battle and stuff.
Right.
Got like rifles on them.
What do you mean rifles?
How can they hold a rifle? No, it's sort of on a strap from that.
What do you mean it's on a strap?
I don't know what they kit them out with, but they're just ready for war.
What are you talking about?
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Wednesday, April 25th, 2012, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez. Really, yep. Really, really desperately needed a clip of Carl Pilkington there. From the Ricky Gervais Show.
God, what a hell of a 3 GD days here. I've said
before we got started in this, I told Bob, I'm here for you to like bounce a couple of, you know, clever one-liners off of once in a while, and just so you're not talking to your self, because honestly, I have been neck deep in a project like 16, 17 hour days for a good 3 days now. So I have no idea what's going on in the world. I barely set foot outside of my apartment. It's just been me and an RN here playing and me working.
Plus, your daughter's there. You're watching your daughter, and she goes back, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah. I got to get up early and fly my ass to freaking stupid Dallas, and then spend the night there. So I don't know anybody in Dallas, so I'll probably just go to the hotel and crash and be up first thing in the morning and, you know, fly back on Saturday back to civilization. So, you know, I mean, if I can... crap. As a matter of fact, I haven't even booked a hotel. I mean, my attitude is if I can find a place to drink, I'll just crash in the damn airport.
That's the best way to do it, and the most pathetic way, in fact.
Speaking of, like I give a crap about pathetic. Speaking of which, by the way, I figured I would save this because I just finished that project. It's a show I was, a script I was writing for DIY. Massive, massive writing and production gig. It's just, they're such a pain in the ass to do. I finished it, honestly, like 2.5 hours ago. So this, can you hear this?
Yeah, what is that?
That's the sound of me opening a beer.
Good.
So I plan to be drinking through the next, you know, through the show and probably certainly through the after party.
Oh, thank
you. By the time you get around to the end of the after party, I should be in really good shape.
Oh, that'll be great. And you know, I'm in a superbly crappy mood today. I've got three reasons for it. One, I'll talk about at the end of this show, the free show.
Right. Why don't you just cancel the show today? Dead air on. Play that sweeper, that radio goes with life thing over and over.
Play like just this over and over again for the next hour.
I love it.
Radio goes with life. The salt and pepper, a fork and knife. Radio goes with life.
Bum, bum. Yeah.
It's got to be better than anything I have to say.
I'll just play sound effects for an hour. No, perfect. I mean, there's one thing I want to mention at the end of this show, and then a couple of things that we'll talk about on the after party, which, you know, if you're a listener and subscriber to the after party, we record that show this week. It'll be on a Wednesday, and then we post it on Friday. So you get it a couple days late. But whenever we say, yeah, we're going to do the after party after this show, that's what it means. We record the shows one after the other and then just roll them out on separate days. So that's
right. And you're going to hear me sniffing a lot, too, because I'm still trying to get over that cold from
it's the cocaine is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Lots to talk about on the show this week. As I said, it's a Wednesday show. We're a day early because of your travel day tomorrow, and the show must go on. So that's why we're going to be doing the show, rolling the show out on Wednesday, which is okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Lots to talk about in the news, though. I don't know. I really don't even know where to begin. I think the best place to start is by making fun of Fox News Channel. And that's always the easiest way to start a show.
It's a pretty much a go-to, you know. Yeah. You can do it easily. Yeah. There's so much great material to mine.
Well, there's a new show, and it's relatively new. It's the show that went into the Glenn Beck time slot, you know.
You're just pushing the piece you wrote for Banter.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's more to talk about when it comes to these guys. Than I was able to encompass into, you know,
shameless plug.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a show called The Five, and get it because it's on 5 o'clock at 5 o'clock Eastern, and there are five people on the panel.
The funny thing is, if you work in television, you know that that's actually simultaneously the most clever and the laziest name for a show. On a cable network, or really any news network or news product ever, because The Five is basically that's the term that a news producer would call, like, if you've got, you know, if you're doing, let's say you're doing local news, and it's like, you know, you got a 5, 5:30, 6, 6:30 show, something like that. You never refer to the show as, like, let's say you're the 5 o'clock show. You never refer to the 5 o'clock show as anything other than just the five. Right. Okay, who's producing the five today?
Yeah, and you know, when I was in radio, it was always the morning show was always just called the morning show. Or, right. You know, in some of the more clever markets, they would come up with some silly name for it. Like,
right. It's like, what are you doing today? Which one do you want today? I'm on the 6:30.
The morning show. Yeah. As you just call it that. Or, you know, in radio also, there was Two for Tuesday. In fact, there's an FM radio
Rocktober.
Station. Rocktober. There's an FM station here that still does the Two for Tuesday.
Oh, don't even, man. I mean, everyone knows that all media – whether it's television, whether it's radio, it's all owned by maybe three or four companies now. And what isn't owned by three or four companies, like say you work in local news, are basically consulted by three or four companies.
Yeah.
Not even that. Two, really. Magid and AR&D, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why all of this product sounds and looks exactly alike.
And,
you know, you drive – this is a little off topic, but it's actually very on topic. You drive across country, man. And every single, you know, every market you drive through, every town you drive through, every city you drive through, there is a coverage you can count on and news you can use. All the radio sounds the same. All the TV looks and sounds the same. It always works the same way.
Yeah. And, you know, unless you have a station like We Act Radio, like WPWC in Washington, 1480 AM, which is right. one of our first terrestrial radio affiliate, you know, most of broadcast radio sucks. I mean, it really does. I mean, most of AM radio is right-wing talk radio. Most of FM radio is computer-generated crappy music around the clock. I mean, most markets don't even have real-life DJs in the studio anymore. A lot of them are voice-tracked from some other place, and they send audio tracks via computer to, you know, a computer system at the radio station, and it all gets plugged in and put into order. So it sounds like there's a live person there playing the music, but there's not.
Yeah.
There's not. So, you know, and every once in a while you get a real life person on the radio, but the real radio is happening on satellite radio. I mean, that's...
Well, the real radio is happening on satellite radio when it comes to things like the live programming. That's where things get good.
Yeah.
But what you just described mm-hmm. is, oh my God, I mean, every satellite, every music station, pardon me, on Sirius XM, is that to the you know, to the umpteenth power.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, Richard Blade goes on First Wave on Sirius XM, and he does like 7 or 8 hours of radio a day because he's not really doing 7 or 8 hours of radio. He's basically just recording the breaks. They put him in, you know, they splice it all together, they make it work. I was actually telling Taryn because we were talking about it when we were riding around the other day. I said there was one day where the computer, I think the computer on Opie and Anthony went down, mm-hmm. and they were supposed to be playing a best of, and it was playing like out of order. Everything was completely screwed up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the music on satellite radio is, you know, computer generated, where someone obviously plugs in what songs are going to go and in what order and which hour. But but the what you get on satellite radio is you get commercial free music.
This is true.
And you get exactly the kind of music that you want. You want to listen to just 80s music, you go to the 80s.
No, I like it a lot. By the way, that little sigh that just escaped me that you might have heard.
Yeah.
My kid is asleep on the couch,
uh-huh.
iCarly, Victorious.
Yeah.
That Nickelodeon show is on in the background.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Gillies, who's 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
Oh dear God! Oh, I would do things to her I wouldn't even do to a farm
oh,
animal.
Oh God. She's 18. Oh, I guess that's legal, but come
exactly.
on. That's right. That's
oh,
right on the
Lord.
Cusp.
Dear God.
You're a lecherous, lecherous man.
Of course I am. I'm a piece of crap.
So the show is called The Five. And if you haven't seen it, this is the clip of The Five that I went off on both the Daily Banter and the Huffington Post. This is the dumbest show in the history of Fox News Channel. And here they are. I mean, let me just set the scene before.
Which is really saying something. I like your point about how basically it takes the idiocy of Fox and Friends, which I think is the dumbest show ever, and just expands on it.
Oh, it does. Well, what it does is it makes, by comparison, it makes Fox and Friends look smart. And this is a roundtable of five people, and it's obviously a knockoff of The View. There are two women, three men, four conservatives, one liberal. That's the composition of the five.
Well, four and a half if you if you count Bowling.
If you count right, Eric Bowling is, I mean, we've been covering Eric Bowling on various blogs for some time now. I mean, the guy just knee jerks and Tourette's himself into racism almost every show.
Douche. He's such a douche.
He is. And, you know, a lot of that is deliberate pandering and trolling for ratings and things like that, because that's the audience. The audience loves that kind of stuff, you know. But
right.
But so you got Eric Bowling. He's the moderator. He's sort of like the John McLaughlin of the group. Or Walters of the group.
Yes, if McLaughlin had had a stroke at age like 35.
And then there's like Dana Perino, former Bush press secretary. Dana Perino is on the panel.
Thank God.
Greg Gutfeld is the jokester.
Such an idiot.
Oh, my God. He's such a D-bag. He really is. And his role on that show is to sit there and to mug for the camera and then throw in, I guess, what he considers to be jokes, which are like, you know, they played a clip of Nancy Pelosi. Well, let's play the audio and then make fun of the audio as we go. I think that's the best way to proceed about this, huh? So here is the clip from the Five.
All right, let's move on. There's the delightful Nancy Pelosi exposing her liberal bias against free market capitalism and legal political donations. Watch.
We have a clear agenda in this regard. Disclose, reform the system, reducing the role of money in campaigns, and amend the Constitution to rid it of this ability for special interests to use secret, unlimited, huge amounts of money to go into campaigns.
Just so that is, I mean, that's utterly reasonable. The opposition to Citizens United is massive. There are more people who believe in witchcraft in America than who agree with the Citizens United decision, allowing unlimited amounts of corporate cash pumped into campaigns.
I think it's terrible. Yeah.
No one likes it. I mean, Republicans, I think the number for Republicans support, Republicans are actually against Citizen United, I think by a margin of 65%.
You know what's interesting, though, but just this is really quick. I want to throw this out there. I think the Citizens United decision from the Supreme Court was a terrible one. But I am also of the opinion that that court exists to operate outside of pressure from the electorate. In other words, I may not agree with the decision, but I respect the idea that just because a very large group of people thinks doesn't approve of something or thinks that something should happen or not happen, mm-hmm. that doesn't influence the decision of the court. The court does what supposedly that's the, you know, there's a big little asterisk there. Supposedly is legally correct.
Yeah.
You know, well, again, I disagree with it. And I only bring that up because I'm always sort of defensive when it comes to the court's decisions, because I know that can be turned around really, really quickly. That, we've heard it before. You know, whenever the right gets pissy that the courts do something it doesn't like, they turn into activist judges. And, you know, I mean, my attitude has been that there are certain things, certain legal constitutional things that should be out of the hands of the whims of the electorate.
Yeah. Well, of course.
But I agree. Citizens United blows.
The Supreme Court is not. Yeah, you're exactly right. The Supreme Court is not supposed to be a political entity. It's not supposed to bend based upon the whims of the populace.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But I mean,
I think that it's important to protect that at all costs. Of course, we all know that now, considering how every single thing is politicized, there's no way around it.
Yeah. And of course, that's a given. The thing is, though, when you're Fox News Channel and you're taking a position that is totally unpopular, obviously unpopular. I mean, every poll shows massive opposition to the Citizens United decision and the influence of corporate cash in political campaigns. It kind of exemplifies the Fox News and Republican Party position, where they just will take anything that a liberal says and express the opposite point of view, irrespective of what that is and who is in support or against it. We're gonna take a break here for a second, but when we come back, we'll continue with this tape from The Five and show you.
Why are you hurting me?
How exactly they're doing that.
I hate you.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
And we're back. I want to talk about this Five clip.
Nine Inch Nails, please.
Yeah, Nine Inch Nails for the next 40 minutes. How about that?
I must have seen them like 10 times. Easy.
Yeah. Just love this song. This really kicked me back. So The Five. All right. We've got this this tape of Nancy Pelosi saying what everyone agrees with. We got to reduce the corporate influence in political campaigns. It's a no-brainer. Everyone agrees with that. The Democrats' position is and the only way to do this at this point is to create a constitutional amendment, because McCain-Feingold was basically reversed by Citizens United. There's no way to legislate the removal of corporate influence in campaigns because the Supreme Court has already declared that to be free speech. Money is speech in the view of the Supreme Court when it comes to corporations. It's the only way the corporations can express their political points of view is by donating money. So here's more from the Five.
Listen carefully. Again, these are her words. Listen.
We have a clear agenda to amend the Constitution.
We have a clear agenda to amend the Constitution. Greg, you want to point something out for us?
Well, I was just amazed at the cloak that she was wearing. I believe that once belonged to Cornelius from Planet of the Apes, the 1969 movie.
He's just terminal to listen to. Holy shit.
Well, you know, I mean,
I'm convinced the only thing good on Fox anymore, there's Shep and then there's Andy Levy. That's it. It begins and ends there. Those two guys.
Well, Gutfeld is might be the nicest guy in the world off camera. I don't know. So might Bill O'Reilly,
yeah,
Steve Doocy, and Sean Hannity
on TV.
But yeah, that's what he is. I mean, his whole thing is to say, you know, kind of, you know, dickish things on television. I mean that. Yep. And so he'll say whatever, you know, and most of those things happen to be terribly sexist. I mean, Media Matters compiled a page, I think, of dozens of examples of, you know, Gutfeld saying sexist things. And those of us who are familiar with Gutfeld's career know that's kind of what he's always done. In fact, I think one of the last things he posted on the Huffington Post was something sexist about Arianna Huffington, which ballsy but stupid. So, needless to say, this is
what
you can tell that this is
said about Ariana. I'm just curious.
Oh,
do you know?
I don't know. It used to be something. He used to draw like sketches on napkins. I think it was. And then he would like make like cartoons on napkins. It would. And it had something to do with that. Something about Ariana on a napkin saying something that.
OK.
That you could never get away with on the Huffington Post now. But this is maybe 3 years ago. Anyway, so as you can tell from Gutfeld's response to Pelosi, it's going to be a really brilliant conversation that's going to happen here. Now, as you heard Eric Bolling say, that they want to pass a constitutional amendment, which is a very difficult process and one that, you know, Republicans. In fact, there have been 51 constitutional amendments proposed by Republicans, 51 of them. This is not some sort of weird, crazy talk when it comes to passing constitutional amendments. This is everyone wants. If you want something locked into place, more or less, you pass a constitutional amendment because it's very difficult to do it, and then it's very difficult to repeal it. In the case of prohibition, they were able to do it. But in most cases, you can't do it. It's unheard of, not only to pass one, but then to repeal it. So you want to get something locked down. And again, the only way to do it, the only way to get the campaign corporate money out of campaigns is to say constitutionally no. The First Amendment does not include corporate, you know, financial speech. That's just the way it works.
Hmm.
So here's more of the Five.
All right, moving along. Bob, we have a clear agenda to amend the Constitution.
Yes, we do. We do. Exactly right. And
okay, so here's the token liberal on the Five. This is Bob Beckel.
Right, the spazzy idiot.
Yeah, we played a tape of him on the after party last week when he blurted out the F word.
The screaming moron with digestion issues, with irritable bowel syndrome.
Exactly. And so they find the guy who's they bring on the weakest liberals possible.
Of course. Like I said last week, the liberals on Fox are always tomato cans.
Here's Bob Beckel sleepwalking his way through a response here, allowing just massive openings into which the rest of the panel can just.
Is Bob Beckel his real name, by the way? Because that's such a doofy, like clownish name. It almost sounds like something they invented for him.
Yeah, that's
Here's Bob Beckel, the liberal.
Bob Beckel. It's his real name. It's his real name.
Right.
I was questioning more along the lines of what his level of inebriation was at this point. So here's Beckel's response. And just try not to cringe too terribly hard.
The reason for that is that a decidedly conservative right-wing court.
It's like, you know, Eric Bolling, wow, you're admitting it. A constitutional amendment, my God. Really? What a shock.
Ruled in citizens, in the citizens case versus the Federal Election Commission, Citizens United. They allowed corporations to have the same standing as individuals, which under the First Amendment, there is never was any intent. There was never a discussion about that. Wait a second. And the fact of the matter is they have fundamentally changed the way American politics works. They fundamentally changed the Republican primary system. They are a threat, and we ought to amend the Constitution and specifically take out corporations under that law.
I'm going to love this.
I mean, what Beckel was saying, you know, is right on point. He just said it in a very bungling,
bad
way.
He sounds like Thomas Menino, the mayor of Boston, who can't, you know, who can't talk without choking on his own tongue. He sounds like he's got marbles in his mouth. He can't enunciate. He can't speak well. He can't articulate his feelings. He can't articulate his points. He's a doof.
Because, you know, you sit here and you listen to this audio tape and you want to say, here's what you say, Bob. Here's what you're supposed to be saying. You're supposed to say, are you people out of your mind? Do you agree with massive piles of corporate cash being injected into the campaign, the electoral system in America? You're in favor of that? Since when? You know, more people are in favor of witchcraft than are in favor of this kind of campaign contribution.
You said that earlier, are you trying to get on the Five? Is that what you're? Is that your new thing? Are you trying to become Fox's Fox's token liberal?
I would shoot myself in the face before I would ever become a member of the Five.
You know, I mean, if they pay you money, and that's always the argument to be made about, you know, people like people like Gutfeld, people like Ann Coulter, you know, the people who may very well be faking it because the paycheck's huge.
It's just an utterly stacked deck. I mean, you could have the most brilliant panelist in the world. You could sort of this chimera of Tom Hartman, Stephanie Miller, and John F. Kennedy onto that panel, and they would get just steamrolled because
never going to stop making fun of the way you pronounce chimera.
Did I say chimera?
Chimera.
Chimera. Yeah.
Yes.
What is it? Chimera.
Chimera, yes.
No, I don't know if that's what it is.
Or chimera.
Is it really? Are you really calling me out on my?
I'm just screwing with you, dude.
Chimera. Okay, I'm Googling this now.
That's all right because I don't know how the hell to pronounce Dana Lash's name, and I think she's hot. So that alone dooms me.
I think it's Dana Lash.
Is it Dana Lash?
Yeah, it's Chimera. You ass.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, if I could get a little thing going with Dana Lash and Liz Gillies, I'd be in pretty good shape.
All right.
Darren would have a real issue with that, though, and she should. As well, she should.
Another break back after this. You know, I got to make it a point to, when we do the show a day early, to alert our sponsor. I screwed up. I did not tell Bubble Genius that we were going to be doing the show a day early, so therefore we have the pod person commercial.
That's all right.
The generic. As always, the show is brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. I love this soap. I use it every day on all of my various parts.
Wow. At least you're honest about that.
And, it's really the best soap, the funniest soap. It's all in all shapes and sizes. And you got to support your liberal businesses, your liberal independent businesses. So, by God, go to BubbleGenius.com and buy all of your bath and body products there. Here's the latest word from Bubble Genius.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
shoves Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And make sure to enter your promo code Bob and Chez, B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, for 15% off your entire order from bubblegenius.com.
Chimera.
Yeah.
Now Shirley Jones is on this show, who, by the way, I also really found attractive years ago. She looks like my mom, which, wow, that's the creepiest thing I've ever said. That's it. I can't get any creepier than that. My brain really was broken by that last project I did.
I
think that Shirley Jones is an attractive woman, and actually my mom is very attractive. That's a nice thing to say. Good. Yeah, and I saw Shirley Jones actually recently. I went to big like event, like a 40s style event at the Cicada Club downtown, and she was there, her and her husband Marty.
Right.
Why am I bringing my brain is, dude, I'm fried.
I have no idea why you even mentioned
fried.
Shirley
I'm
Jones.
Talking about like 18-year-olds and the Chimera and Shirley Jones. This is great.
Chimera.
And I'm drinking.
Anyway, so, you know, I think we've beaten the five to death here enough. I mean, it continues on and on. I mean, you know, Dana Perino says, oh, good luck, you know, trying to amend the First Amendment in an election year. I mean, the polls are just overwhelmingly. And I just it's shocking to hear something like this where they just are so desperate to take the opposite position of something, regardless of what their audience actually thinks.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's it. Well, the important thing is that two things. Number one, their audience doesn't think what I think you think they think. Does that make sense? They think, one, what Fox tells them to think, bottom line, and they think that whatever the the president/Democrats are doing, they think the opposite. It doesn't matter whether it's contradictory to also the things that they've said up to a certain point or believed up to a certain point. If Fox looks at him and says, hey, look, you know what? This is something that Obama or Pelosi or whomever believes, they immediately say, well, I don't want that. And they'll find a way to rationalize it, by the way. They'll find a way to rationalize the hypocrisy.
Yeah. Well, it's the entire approach that the Republican Party has taken now, where they just choose that opposite thing. They just kind of, you know, when it came to pink slime, for God's sake, pink slime. It's that slurry that they wash in ammonia. It's like all of the disgusting bits from the outside of the cow, like the bits that are closest to the skin of the cow and therefore the most riddled with disease, like salmonella and E. coli and all kinds of other awfulness. And so they use those bits, and then they wash it in ammonia in these big, they look like washing machines. And then they turn it into this slime that gets added to ground beef to make ground beef cheaper to produce and also remarkably unhealthy for you to eat. And now it's been banned from a bunch of different restaurants. It's been banned from, I mean, for God's sake, it was in schools, public schools in the cafeteria. And so they've banned all these things. But, you know, as soon as a Democrat says, oh, this pink slime's terrible, I'm so glad that it's out of our diet, suddenly Republicans all around come to the defense of the pink slime. You know, you see Rick Perry, taking a big bite of a hamburger that has pink slime.
Because it's just, you know, because their attitude is, well, you know, don't tell me what's good for me. That's it. It comes down to that. It's that simple. It's even if someone says, look, There's no ill intent here. I'm not trying to screw with your life. I'm not, you know, this is just bad, and here's why. Well, don't tell me what's bad for me. Okay, stupid. Fine. Mm-hmm. You want to eat ammonia, you go right ahead. The Republicans, for all the hypocrisy and all the, you know, the how do they do it? How do they justify it? How are they so shameless? There's no complexity to the way that they think. They're very easy to figure out. And, you know, they don't – their opinions are not hypocritical. It's always exactly the same, which is Obama's wrong. That's it. No matter what, Obama and the Democrats are wrong. It's very simple. Doesn't matter what they say, they're wrong.
They're wrong, and here's our policy, which is based on the exact opposite of whatever they say.
Right. That's it. They're wrong. That's all you need to know.
No wonder they're flipping out and angry and spastic and – because to be a conservative now has just got to mean being yanked around in all different directions. day to day, you don't know what the hell your people believe. Because, you know, you gotta find out what the president says first before you know what to believe.
Yeah, that's, you know, once again, where does the term reactionary come from? Mm-hmm. You know, they're reactive. They react. Maybe that's probably a reach on my part, but still, it seems to fit. And I'm going with it for that reason.
Good. One last break back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Oh, boy. I got to tell you, I'm with you, Chez. I'm just kind of forcing myself through this show. And I guess, you know, I should tell you what exactly happened. We started recording the show late. And it's because about 15 minutes before the show got started, I got an email alerting me that, a good friend of mine just passed away today. There's this guy, his name is Ron Basaga, and he, you might have seen him, if you're Facebook friends with me, you might have seen him commenting on some of my stuff or posting some things occasionally. I've known Ron for, maybe 20 years, and he was a good friend. I was introduced to him through my roommate in college, and, when it came time to shoot an independent film right after 9/11, I knew how funny Ron was. I mean, spontaneously hilarious. I decided to cast Ron in that movie to play this character, this Bob Hope impersonator, which is a whole other story in and of itself. Suffice to say, the movie that I shot is a film called The War Effort. And it was a sort of a Christopher Guest style mock documentary. And, you know, the characters were all wrapped up in the post 9/11 patriotic enthusiasm of that era. We all remember that with all the flags on the cars. And
I remember very well.
George Bush had something like a 91% approval rating. And so, you know, each cast member ended up entering a radio contest for the radio contest was America's Most Patriotic American. And Ron's character was this guy who was really just a huge Bob Hope fan and decided that he wanted to join the USO to entertain the troops, just like Bob Hope. And so his whole story is trying to weasel his way into the USO. And a lot like the Christopher Guest movies, the whole thing was improvised. So Ron was this guy, and it was impossible to get through a take of Ron without just cracking up. I mean, there was one series of takes. I think we tried 40 times to get through a take, and I just could not stop laughing through, right in the middle of this run that he was doing. But, so it was one of those things where we record the show on a Wednesday, as the case may be this week. And right before we go to start the show, I'm frantically getting my stuff together. I'm getting coffee together and I get this email. So I'm a little bit distracted, as I think you are, Chez. I think we're both jointly distracted this week.
So what did he die of? If I'm honest?
We don't know. That's just it. It's so
that
soon.
Sucks.
But I mean, he was one of these guys. Ron was one of these guys who he lived life with such gusto. I mean, he just would dive in everything with head first. And one time it was in the midst of shooting this movie that I made about 10 years ago. He was riding his bike and was hit by a truck. And ended up with a concussion and then came in 2 days later to shoot this extraordinarily physical scene where his character is accosted by agents with Homeland Security. And they tackle him down. It's like a cops kind of scene where they chase him down and tackle him down and handcuff him. And it's a real and he did this. He just decided, that's fine. I don't care. I've got a concussion. I'm just going to dive in, So, he it was one of those things where it could have been something like that. It could have been some natural cause. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry. I really am.
Yeah, but But it's a real shame because he's one of these guys who just is endlessly entertaining and funny and he's a good friend. So I was going to save that to the end of the show, but, you know, put it in here now.
Gotcha.
Okay. So moving along. This is something else I wrote about in the Daily Banter this week, and it bears a bit of discussion here. The 2012 Social Security Trustees Report was released this week. Accordingly, anytime Social Security is mentioned in the news, everyone instantly freaks out and says, oh, my God, we're doomed. Social Security is so screwed. We're not going to have Social Security when we get old. It's going broke. It runs dry. You know, the headline in the Daily Banter that I wrote was called The Biggest Lie in American Politics, because that's what this is. Wall Street Journal headline, stress rises on Social Security. Los Angeles Times, Social Security is slipping closer to insolvency. New York Times, Social Security's financial health worsens.
Right.
It's all knee-jerk BS.
Okay.
Because all that really happened, I mean, the big difference in this trustees report to previous years is the impact of the recession caused incomes to decline over the last several years. With incomes declining, that means lower amounts of revenue going into the Social Security Trust Fund via payroll taxes. So the date by which at which the Social Security Trust Fund can no longer pay full benefits was just rolled back by a couple of years to 2033. You would think, by the way everyone was reacting, that date was rolled back to tomorrow. It's not. It's 2033. That's 21 years from now. In that 21 years, Social Security will continue to run a surplus. After that date, after 2033, Social Security will still be able to pay out 75 to 80% of all benefits. So if your gotcha. If your monthly benefit from Social Security is $1,000, you're still guaranteed $750 to $800 a month. Hmm. If it's $1,000, it's probably more than that by now. But that's if Congress and the president or whoever, whichever president between now and 2033 does nothing. That's if no adjustments are made to Social Security whatsoever. But the truth is that about every 10 years, adjustments are made to Social Security. In 1983, Ronald Reagan raised the payroll tax in conjunction with Tip O'Neill, Democrats in Congress. They
imagine
worked together.
That, in conjunction.
Yeah. You know, in a bipartisan way, kind of low key, they raised the payroll tax. Similar thing happened during the Clinton years.
Right.
They adjusted Social Security so that it would be sustainable for a much longer period of time. It's going to happen again soon. But what That is kind of irrelevant, because what really the goal here among opponents of Social Security and the people who write these kinds of headlines is to kill it by a thousand cuts.
Of course it is.
To say, you know what, this is a great excuse. Oh, my God, are you kidding me? You mean Social Security is going to run dry by 2033? Well, that means we either have to privatize it or we have to raise the retirement age or both. Reduce benefits or something. None of that needs to happen. But suddenly these reports become excuses for that agenda, for that conservative agenda that's existed since the 1930s to kill Social Security because, you know, it's socialized. And it's a socialized entitlement program, which is scary to conservatives. They don't like this. They don't like something like that that actually works. You know, when they see something that's quote unquote socialized and it actually functions and runs a surplus and is healthy and cranking along and benefits.
You know what's interesting,
Americans?
I mean, the religious always seem to be terrified of temptation.
Yeah.
You know, the Christians and people who are sort of hyper religious, a lot of their sort of milieu is about, you know, staying away from temptation because they know they'll give in. And sort of by the same token, conservatives, I think, I can't help but think that one of the big fears of conservatives has always been that you know, kind of like the public option is a great example, that really we all know full well that if there was a public option in healthcare, mm-hmm. that conservatives would be using it. All the people who bitched and moaned and complained would be using it very happily, just like the people who use Medicare. And it's just funny to sort of like – it really is sort of self-defeatist saying, well, I don't want that. It's almost like I don't want that because I'm going to use it. I don't want that available because I'm going to give into it. We can't let the government take over because if they do, well, then I may find out that I like it. Yeah. And then what?
Yeah, and you know what? Again, that goes back to that opposite day thing. You know that what they're doing with Social Security is trying to undermine it because it is the opposite of what they believe. They don't want something that comes from liberal economic policy to actually function correctly. So they take the opposite point of view because they don't want that thing that really does function quite well. They don't want that to actually work. All they really have to do to fix it, they don't need to touch the retirement age. They don't need to privatize it. They don't need to reduce benefits. All they got to do is lift the cap on the payroll tax. So right now, I think it's at $110,000. At that point, any earnings above $110,000 aren't taxed via FICA, which you often see right there on your paycheck stub.
Right.
And it's not the payroll tax doesn't apply to anything over $110,000. So multimillionaires do get taxed on the first $110,000 that they earn. The rest of it doesn't get taxed. Well, if you lift that cap, Social Security becomes fully solvent, able to pay full benefits to the year 2087 for the next 75 years plus.
Right.
I think in the Daily Banter, I drew a comparison. You know, people who are 24 years old right now, if they retire at age 65, they will receive full benefits for 35 years until they're, 100 years old, considering, if they live that long. Instead, they want to find all of these ways that will ultimately kill it. You privatize it, helps to kill the system. You raise the retirement age, it disillusions an entire generation of people. Oh, so I can't really retire until I'm 70, right? Ugh. Or if you cut benefits, then that plays into the stereotype of our generation that when we're that age, when we're 65, Social Security will be basically useless.
Sure.
So these are all things that hurt it as a program, and that's exactly what Republicans, conservatives want to do. Hmm. And it's remarkable that they continue to latch on to this as a policy, something that's practically ingrained in the Republican platform, because it is, again, much like we were discussing with campaign finance. It's an utterly unpopular position to take. No one wants to privatize Social Security. In 2005, the first year after Bush was reelected, he spent the entire summer pitching a privatization plan, and it failed miserably. This was a guy who went into 2005 thinking he had a mandate and just trounced John Kerry in the election and set out to privatize Social Security and failed miserably. Why? Because no one wants to screw with it. It's something that we don't have to worry about. We pay into it automatically through our paychecks, and it ends up, we get that money back once we retire. What's wrong with that? Nothing is wrong with that. But from time to time, needs to be tweaked and fixed so that changing dynamics in the population are accounted for. It's a no-brainer. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. But it doesn't play into the conservative agenda, so it must be awful and bad.
Sure.
So I was talking about John Boehner, and he is – I think John Boehner has become maybe the biggest liar in Congress. And you want to say, well, maybe that's Alan West, or maybe that's Louis Gohmert, or one of the members of the Crazy Caucus – but John Boehner has really been popping off lately with just ridiculous lies.
Right. Well, the reason he does it is because he will go whichever way the wind blows. He's just interested in keeping his job.
Yeah.
Yeah, Taibbi wrote a really, really great, you know, I mean, Taibbi writes a lot of good pieces and also writes a lot of sort of, I don't say, you know, sort of purposely contrarian, inflammatory pieces where he kind of drags out the same epithets, the same, you know, things to call people over and over. But his piece on Boehner was pretty good about how he's basically, you know, the guy is just somebody who he's a shill. You know, whatever you pay him, it's, you know, whoever pays him the most money, that's the person who kind of gets him. And he's the most interested in just sort of keeping the status quo and keeping his job. He'll say whatever the hell he has to make sure that he stays in power, you know, and he almost doesn't do it as he almost doesn't do it with malice. It's just he's just, he's a political weasel. That's all he is.
And the party has so
he's a political creature.
The party has so shamed the press that he just simply doesn't get corrected on it. I mean, it's just expected now. I mean, the press, cable news, print press, they just go, oh, there they go again. All right. Well, whatever. Yeah. What's next? So, you know, he's able to say things like this election is going to be a referendum on the president's economic policies. They've not only helped they've not only not helped the economy, they've actually made it worse. When, in fact, every mathematical indicator, every economic indicator says that the economy has improved since the president took office. Everything.
Right.
I mean, I'm not making that up. Every economic indicator has improved since the president's policies took effect. Unemployment.
Well, things are getting better. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, you start with unemployment, which has gone down. You start with job creation, which has gone up by a swing of a million jobs per month, from losing 800,000 jobs a month to adding 200,000. That's a net swing of a million, you know, to the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the biggest indicator of not only economic health, but also capitalism, has doubled since the president took office.
Right.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average has doubled. It's now hovering around 13,000. It was down near the low 6,000s when the president took office. There's no indicator. You can't tell me, John Boehner, that anything of what you're saying with regards to the economy and the president's policies is actually true. It's all a lie. You're just lying. It's just a lie. And then he spouted off this lie, and we're just going to wrap up the show with this. He's on Twitter, which I guess you can lie on Twitter and kind of get away with it because it's, you know, it's Twitter. It's not real.
Right.
Boehner says student loan rates set to double because a Democratic-controlled Congress voted to double them. Well, that's not true either. That's not true either. The Democrats passed a law in 2007 cutting the interest rate to 3.4%, and that law, in order to get the president, then-President Bush to sign it, was sunsetted. So this year it's set to expire, which would then double the interest rates on Stafford loans. The Democrats want to renew it. But because they put that sunset clause in there for 2012, John Boehner can get away with saying that the Democrats voted to double interest rates. You get it? You want to talk about political jujitsu. I mean, you gotta really think about the logic on that one. But it's a lie. It's a lie. The Democrats do not want to double student loan rates.
Of course not.
They voted to reduce them. I mean, so this is going to go bash my face against the wall for a couple hours. That's probably more productive than reading John Boehner's tweets.
Of course. Yeah, well, like you said, they'll lie and they know nobody's going to call them on it.
Yeah, that's right. So, in fact, on the after party, we're going to be playing a clip of President Obama talking about Stafford loan interest rates. In a very entertaining way. When we're talking about lying, if there's any lie that you really want to pay attention to, it's the Social Security lie. Social Security is just fine. It's fine and dandy. We could go through, you know what? We could go through a huge economic boom tomorrow, and Social Security will be solvent and able to pay full benefits maybe until 2040. You know, it swings around based on the economic climate. But what should really, really happen, and Bernie Sanders has been pushing this for a while, eliminate that income cap on the payroll tax.
Please, please do your Bernie Sanders Mel Karmazin impression again.
All you've got to do is eliminate the payroll tax.
Thank you very much.
Eliminate the cap, the income cap on the payroll tax. It's a no-brainer.
You're very good at that. Thank like you I said, much. You're somewhere between those guys and Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
I don't know where. It sounds nothing like Bernie Sanders. I'm just doing a kind of a Goomba kind of voice.
Okay. Bernie, I think it sounds like Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders is not a Goomba.
Let the record show.
Well, hey, safe home to Ron Bisaga, good friend of mine. He listened to this show all the time.
Sorry to hear that, really.
We've lost a friend and a listener. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. Subscribe to the After Party. More subscribers needed. Tell a friend. It's worth the $6 a month. Take care, everybody.
See ya.